Hi, everyone, and welcome to the live Fundraising Success webinar, Strategies for Seamless Integration Across Fundraising Channels, sponsored by Merkle. I'm Margaret Battistelli, Editor-in-Chief of Fundraising Success and the host of today's event. Are you looking for the next big thing? Of course you are. Everybody is. But we've got news for you. No matter what the next cool strategy is that emerges for fundraising, the one and only true next big thing is, was, and always will be integration. No matter how good something looks, it can't stand alone. You have to make it part of your overall program, and that's what we're here to discuss today. But before we get started, let me point out a few tips on how to make the most of today's live webinar. First, if you have any technical difficulties, troubleshoot by clicking on the help button at the bottom of the console or let us know via the Ask a Question box. Second, make sure you turn off any pop-up blockers on your computer so that you can see and take part in any interactive portions of today's presentation. To get a PDF version of the slide presentation for future reference, click on the Download Slides button on the console. If you're enjoying this webinar, and we really hope you are, and would like to spread the word to your peers, you can send an email invitation directly from the console by clicking the Invite a Colleague button. You can also give us your feedback at any time during the hour by clicking the Survey button. This survey will also be distributed at the end of today's webinar. As you know, today's speakers will be answering select questions live at the end of the presentation and also throughout the presentation. Use the Ask a Question feature on the console to submit your questions for consideration in advance at any time. If you leave the presentation at any time, you can access the entire webinar on demand for the next 90 days via the same audience link you used to watch the presentation today. After that, the webinar can be viewed on the publication website, www.fundraisingsuccessmag.com. Finally, we encourage you to tweet about this webinar today. Please use, and I have to apologize, I don't even know what the hashtag is, but we'll get back to you on that. Sorry about that. Right now, if you could take a minute to answer the poll questions that are up on your screen, that would be great, and it'll give us an idea of who's joining us for today's webinar. In the meantime, let me introduce our speakers. With us today are Tabitha Lineweber, Director of Direct Marketing at Susan G. Komen for The Cure, Craig Wood, Founder and CEO of The Clarity Group, Greg Fox, Senior Vice President, Chief Strategy Officer at Merkle, and Angie Moore, General Manager of Nonprofit Practice, also at Merkle. And we're just going to give you some of the results from the poll that you just answered. And it looks like we have almost 15% of our attendees are from agencies, almost 10% are nonprofit executives, 66.9% are fundraising professionals, 6.6% nonprofit marketing, 1.6% nonprofit CRM. And we have no one from marketing research. Anyway, with all of that out of the way, let me turn things over to Angie.
Great. Thanks so much, Margaret. Really appreciate it. Again, thanks so much for joining us today, and thanks also for Tabitha from Susan G. Komen and Craig from Clarity and being a part of our discussion today. One of the quick things I want to tell you is I want to at least tell you about our discussion flow, which is, in general, we're going to have Tabitha talk a little bit about what Komen is doing in their pursuit of integrated marketing, where they are, the steps along the way that they're taking. And then really we hope to have a pretty lively conversation and really hope you guys will ask questions as well, which is around, you know, why is it that we're doing this as an industry? What is it about integrated marketing that's driving us? What's working? What's not working? And really sort of wrap it up at the end with, you know, the concept of, so what are the real quantifiable results that we should be talking about as we pursue the path of integrated marketing? Because there are lots of results that you're going to see throughout the presentation that may not be revenue-based but are organizationally based, information and data-based, et cetera. So that's really how we're going to move today's discussions. And with that, I guess I'd like to turn it over to Tabitha.
Angie, can I just interrupt for 1 minute? The hashtag is #FSWebinar.
Great.
Thank you.
All right. Well, thanks, Margaret and Angie, for that introduction and for including Komen in this discussion on integrated marketing. As a whole, this is something Komen has been moving towards since 2009. And as you can see from the slide that's up right now, you know, we have many programs at Komen, and they're all very program levels. And within these programs reside a lot of our Komen constituents. And one of the things we started looking at when we started looking at these constituents is their experience with Komen. And as we started putting together a donor-centric strategy and looking at moving forward, it was like, how can we best communicate with these donors? And as we started to move forward in that, you can see, oh, I'm sorry, I got ahead of myself there. There we go. So when we started looking at everything as a whole, we started looking at what our strengths and weaknesses were. You know, as I alluded to just a second ago, we have a great program experience at an individual level. We exceeded it. We have our three-day series. We have our Race for the Cure series, which is at our affiliate level. We have direct mail donors, global race donors, emails, et cetera, volunteers, Passionately Pink for the Cure, many programs, and we're very good at getting our constituents to participate and wanting to get involved. And we measure the successes at that program level, which can be difficult at times because it doesn't allow us to see our constituents as a whole across the entire Komen universe. And a lot of times when we look at that stuff, our budgeting is based on that as well, which doesn't allow us to look at true ROI metrics as really what a constituent is worth to our organization. And so when we started looking at these things a couple, 2 years ago, we really wanted to get down to the nitty-gritty, and we knew this wasn't going to happen overnight. We knew this was just not something that we could, you know, turn on a switch and this was going to happen. It was a concerted effort that was going to involve many people within the organization. So we looked at getting a champion. The first thing we did was talk to our leadership team about this and saying, you know, presenting the metrics, looking at the numbers, why this was the best thing for us to do. We had our champion for our CMO and our CFO, two of the biggest champions you can have within an organization, and started looking at that realistically and seeing what we could do about it. And also looking at cross-departmentally as well, because in order to do this, we need the buy-in from all the departments across the organization. And so we looked at those, and it was important for us to bring those key influencers to the table, to really have their input as well, whether it was IT, brand, accounting. I mean, those departments had a key influence on how we were going to move forward as well. We just couldn't do it without them. And, you know, before we started doing that as well, we started doing some analysis work, looking at our donor base, really trying to figure out who was what. And as many nonprofits have this experience, especially some larger ones that have been out there for a while, you may have multiple donors sitting in multiple databases. We have that at Komen. We have some donors, some large groups that sit in different databases. So one of the key things for us starting 2009 was starting to consolidate everything. How do we bring everything together? How do we get all our donors into one view so we can start looking at them holistically across the board? And, you know, like I said, we had to have our buy-in from our CFO and CEO and CMO to do this. You know, really understanding their value when we started looking at the analysis on that. And the last thing I would say on this is the brand. Because when you look at this, you can look at it as cross-channel. So cross-channel marketing for us is like, okay, I'm sending a direct mail piece and they're getting a telemarketing piece with it, or a DRTV piece with DM and texting. But you really need to look at it cross-departmental as well. And our programs that are working together to further the mission to better ROI. And so brand falls into that because the message needs to be unified across all departments and strategies, whether it's a global race piece that's going out the door or a direct mail piece that's going out the door. The user, the end user, should feel, we felt, that when they looked at it, they were not only seeing that program specific, but they were seeing Komen everywhere. They, when they read it, they knew it was Komen. There was no ifs, ands, or doubts about it that it was Komen. So that's why we feel brand plays really important to being able to solidify that across the board. So what did we do to get there? What was our integrated marketing vision? What were our top, you know, our priorities? When we started looking at that across the board, you know, we had to figure out really who our best donors were to do this. How were we going to achieve this? Excuse me one second. Sorry about that. I had a cough for a second. So we had to look at it, and that meant data integration, integration across the organizational departments, affiliates or chapters, you know, integration across communication strategies, and, you know, how were we going to get there? How was that increase the funds for our nonprofit that our nonprofit raises? How are we going to better clarify our messaging? How was it going to increase our response rates? And all that requires the back-end analysis that needs to be done to get to that level. And looking at who they are, what are their preferences, what are their interests. On a donor-centric strategy for this, we want our donors to tell us who they are. We want them to tell us how they want to be marketed to, because it doesn't make any sense for me to be sending a direct marketing piece to someone who wants to be strictly communicated with via email or via telephone. So when you're looking at that, you really want to understand who they are, and that's where we're at right now, is trying to understand really who our donors are and what we need to do to get there, what our shared goals are for these constituents. You know, advocacy in our group may have a totally different mindset on what they need to do for these constituents versus what we may have in direct marketing, email, or global race. And it's coming together at the table departmentally within the organization for all of us to understand what that vision is and to agree upon it. Because without agreement, what's going to happen is your donors are still going to get that convoluted messaging, and what happens is your organization will look discombobulated and not know what's going on, what the right hand and the left hand aren't doing. What is the best communication plan across the multiple media channels? Once again, I think that goes back to looking at our overall marketing calendar, which we do internally. Our brand group puts it together. We put it together. And it's to get that 360 view across the organization on every touch point this donor is getting, what they're seeing, what they're reading, what they're hearing, and making sure it's unified across the board. Once again, because if you can't do that, the donor is going to get confused and thinks that they're talking to, you know, maybe four different organizations when, in fact, it's just Komen. The decisions that you make across the enterprise to, you know, engage these consumers, once again, that's something we're talking about. That goes to that organizational and design structure issues. You know, whether or not, you know, integration is the best way and the best process for your organization to move forward. It goes back to that research to say, yes, this is the best thing for our donors. We need to do this, our constituents. We need to do this, and here's why. You know, looking at the, looking at whether your offline and online databases need to merge together, looking at how that works, looking at what is the best fit for your donors, you know, and looking at that across the organization, as I alluded to earlier, we involve IT, we involve our brand group, we involve accounting, we involve our advocacy group, because those decisions can't be made in a vacuum. You need everybody at the table in order to help move this along. You know, that falls right into, you know, how do we work together to make this happen? You know, a lot of organizations operate in silos, and I'm not going to paint a rosy picture and say that doesn't happen. But when you look at it as a whole and say, we are doing this for the best of the donor, what's best for the donor, you can bring everybody to the table, because what you're trying to do is further your message and further your mission. And if you can do that and further your mission, then the donor is one. And it's all about what the donor needs to do in order to help fund your mission. And when you look at that, and when we look at it as a whole at Komen, that's what's best for us, and that's what we feel is best for integrated marketing, not only cross-channel, but cross-program and cross-departmentally as well.
Tabitha, I do have a question for you that has come up, but first I want to turn to Angie and ask you a question that came up that perhaps I should have asked very early on. Could you please give us a very concise understanding of what exactly we're talking about when we're talking about integrated marketing for nonprofits?
You throw me off when you ask for it to be concise.
I'm sorry.
Anybody who knows me knows that I struggle with that word. So how about I say it this way? I would say that it's the marriage between your channel strategy and your constituent strategy, and I'll talk a little bit about what I mean by constituent strategy. But it's, you know, a lot of people, I think, of integrated marketing when I talk to them in the hallways and the conferences. I say, how are you doing with your integrated marketing? They say, well, we have our online integrated with our offline. That's first place everybody starts. The really critical part of integrated marketing is it's not just about making sure your channels are working together on a communication calendar. It's actually one step higher than that, which is, and by the way, who are you speaking with and is this relevant to them? So it is a from an operational perspective and even a strategic perspective, it's bringing together the mass touch channels in a way that they're the most effective, but you can't stop there. You have to go to the next level and say, now let's talk about bringing together the view of our constituents, who are we trying to reach, what are their preferences for channels, and how do we now use all the channels at our disposal that we've worked really hard to think about collectively to communicate the various messages throughout the year. That's sort of how I would sum it up.
Great. And given how much information you could have given us, that was very concise. Good job. Tabitha, I want to jump back to you. One of our attendees would like to know, at Coleman, what percentage of the incoming funds comes in via online and what percentage comes in via offline?
Well, you know, like many nonprofits, you know, we're still trying to crack the online arena. As a healthcare organization, I would still say probably about 80% of our funds are coming offline when you look at a direct marketing perspective. When you look at our global race perspective, a lot of those people sign up online, and many of our affiliates, they sign up online as well, or they're coming back through in the mail. So, you know, like I said, when we look at it as a whole, we still have those issues with trying to get people to give online because you also have to look at your constituent base. In the healthcare sector, our base, our direct mail donors tend to be slightly older and they're not online. So when we're looking at it that way, that's something we're still moving towards. But as you look at the younger base, we have a program, Passionately Being for the Cure. We, you know, our donations come in online on that. So it really depends on the segmentation on it.
Okay. Angie and Craig, I want to throw the ball on your court. Can you tell us, obviously Tabitha talked about what's going on at Coleman. Can you tell us what types of things you're seeing your clients doing in regard to multi-channel integration?
Yep, absolutely. I'm gonna talk about it from a little bit of the perspective that I see from Merkel's viewpoint, and then Craig actually comes at it from a different perspective. So hopefully we'll give you a good view into this. I would say that the majority of the movement that we're seeing with our clients is really bucketed into two areas, and you see it on the slide here in front of you as sort of the takeaway, which is the transformation from transaction to relationship thinking, and then this other piece with that, which I think Tabitha did a really great job to lay out for us what's happening at Coleman, is this internal evolution. The two really can't be pulled apart. It's almost the same as the marriage I talked about between the channel strategies and the constituent strategies. So from a transaction transformation perspective, it's really the concept of, and I would say that, you know, and from my history, I've worked at a nonprofit for a very long time before going to Merkel, which is, I would say the nonprofit industry, we are masters. We have excelled at transactional marketing. We are driven to keep cost of fundraising down, make every dollar count, count every dollar, look at every response, track every campaign. And that part is never going to go away because in some ways I think we're probably even better on the nonprofit side than perhaps even some of our commercial partners might be. But I think the transformation is that transactional view, that campaign-specific view, that program-specific view, now has to become a part of a larger picture as you start to look at the relationship. Because in reality, constituents are making decisions every day to recommit, join an organization, try something else within an organization, so broaden their engagement. And so all of a sudden, tracking individual programs or individual campaigns only becomes a piece of the pie that you have to say when you step back and say, okay, but what are the constituents doing with us overall? You know, the perfect example I can think of is, you know, the measurement of retention. And I know that Greg's going to talk a lot about sort of the metrics here, so I don't want to steal anything from him. But, you know, it's really not good enough to just talk about retention to a program anymore because that is only looking at one aspect of that person's engagement. And from a brand perspective, we want people to stay engaged with our brand. Even if they are choosing to move around within our organizations, we want them to stay engaged with our brand because that is an indication of their loyalty and their long-term commitment. It doesn't mean we don't want them back in that direct mail program or back in that volunteer event. It just means that we have to look at it at that transition transactional level, but also at a broader level. From the internal evolution, which I think is sort of the flip side of the coin, I've sort of taken the time to break it down into what I see are the four key components that live in between the internal evolution and this transformation in thinking around your marketing strategy. One is enterprise segmentation. The second is constituent insight. The third is really about having the technology that enables constituent-based metrics. And then the fourth, and I think, again, Tabitha touched on this quite a bit, is organization-wide integration. Just really top line on each one of these. From an enterprise segmentation, probably the most detrimental thing that we can do as we venture into an integrated marketing way of thinking is to remain in a place where every program has its own segmentation. Because, again, if we believe that our constituents are moving within our organization and we actually want them to move in within our organization as a way to increase their engagement and increase their loyalty, then if they're segmented one way in one program and another way in another program, it becomes even more difficult to then start to integrate those communication strategies. So having a common way, and you can even start in a place where you say, let's not boil the ocean here. Let's get the people that are doing the majority of the communication together. Let's see if we can agree upon a common way to group our constituents. So when we start talking about our marketing strategies that will still have their individual budgets and their individual goals, we can also then roll that up and say, what are you doing with this constituent segment, which is a high-value constituent segment to the organization? So really agreeing on how we can commonly refer to different groups of constituents that are engaged with the nonprofit brand is the first area. The second area is around constituent insight, and the reason I want to point this out is because I think a lot of times we get confused with quantity over quality. And so one of the things that we've seen organizations really struggle with is they've evolved from the we're going to collect everything to we're going to collect as much as we can, but we're going to focus in on the most high-value information that makes our marketing strategies better. So it doesn't mean that data capture has shifted and reduced. It means that there's been a greater emphasis on capturing the information that's the most valuable to drive the better marketing decisions or getting us as organizations and agencies closer to understanding the constituents and who they are and what they want. The third area is, and I always hesitate to put technology in here because I don't want anybody ever walking away and saying, oh, it's about getting a database. Yes, there has to be a database. There has to be some place where information is housed, but the point that I'm trying to drive home here with sort of this fourth area that has to be focused on, and Craig has a lot of information about this as well, is the data has to then be able to help you understand the performance of your constituency, the health of your customer base, your member base, your donor base, your volunteer base, whatever it might be within your organization. I think for many years, and the evolution that we're sort of moving away from is the database was there to help mark the performance of the organization, how much revenue was being raised, what was the retention. It now has to evolve into that second purpose. It's not a replacement, but a second purpose of a metric enabled ability to actually have you be able to understand where your constituents are engaged within the organization, where are things better than they're not better for the constituency. And then last but not least, and I'm not going to, I feel like I might be actually dogpiling based on the information that Tabitha gave, so I don't want to belabor it. The organization-wide integration is critical. It really is about coming together. It's not about restructuring as an organization. It's about creating ways to work together if you're in marketing. And marketing is sort of a broad term now, which is if you're touching constituents and wanting them to do something for your brand or for your organization, you want them to engage in some way, you're marketing to that constituency. So it's getting all those people together that need something from the constituency to make things work and make the mission happen at the organization at a table and talking about it and starting to have those conversations around segmentation and shared goals, et cetera. One point that I wanted to say, because it's not that we've we've seen organizations change their whole marketing plan. And I will tell you, speaking from Merkle, we're never ever going to recommend that either. So if somebody is recommending that, I tread very carefully, because I think the critical piece is it's the addition of a new element within the marketing program. And we reference it as the new marketing layer. So for years and years and years, we've all been very successful, which is our nonprofit organizations have had a brand strategy that has then informed our marketing strategies, and then we've, from a mass perspective, especially in the fundraising world, we've moved that marketing strategy into a database marketing technique, and then ultimately execution through the various media. What is the new added layer that is helping organizations with this evolution or movement into an integrated view of their marketing and their constituents is we just term it the constituent management strategy, which is at some point you have to stop the conversation between the marketing strategy and the technique and say, but who is it that we're trying to engage? What do we know about them? Where are they engaged in the rest of the organization? How are we going to segment them? How are we going to group them, et cetera? So it's taking the time before we get into execution mode to actually step back and actually talk about the audience. And it's something that I think from a direct marketing standpoint we've all done pretty earnestly within our direct marketing programs. But the minute you start realizing, and think about Komen slides with all the various areas, the minute you start realizing that there are all these ways that people can engage, all these different channels that they're getting involved with, you have to step back and say, I need to look at broader than just my program or my picture, and that's what that new marketing layer is allowing you to do. Last but not least, I would be remiss if I didn't answer the question that typically comes up, which is, so where do you think we all are? Okay, this sounds really hard. We know some are pursuing it faster than others. We know that there's some fantastic benefit to doing it, but are we behind? Are we ahead? So here's how I would describe sort of this the spectrum that most of the clients that we're working with are on. If you think about this from a breaking through the marketing ceiling, so talking about really energizing the organization around and activating around that new marketing layer, that's that red dotted line that you see there. So that's sort of level 4 and level 5. You'll see that the reason we sort of separate it is we say, if you're below the red line, your organization is probably still primarily focused around campaigns or programs. Again, this is not about restructuring and creating all new budget theories and budget structures within an organization, but it is about creating additional views to help you understand where the constituents are most valuable in the organization. So you see that the red line is broken, and once you get above that marketing ceiling, you really have completed a part of the transition to become constituent-focused, and that could be that you've developed that enterprise-wide segmentation and everybody feels comfortable talking about it. It could be that you all of a sudden now have a set of reports in addition to your revenue reports that show your constituent-based metrics across the organization. It could be that you've truly started to integrate multiple channels together and they show up on the same communication plan with a similar segmentation. So there are lots of things that indicate you've moved into the constituent-focused area. But in reality, I would say the majority of where we assess the industry is still within the level 2 and level 3 area. There are organizations that are right now just seriously knocking on that red dotted line. It's very hard to find some. I think Craig might be able to weigh in with some thoughts as well, to find some that are just barreling up into the level 5 area right now. So from a where am I perspective, that's how we sort of see the market.
Craig, we're going to move on to you, and I don't want to throw you too far off your presentation, but I want to ask you to address the issues that you plan on addressing with regard to nonprofits who are really on maybe the lower end of that chart that we were looking at and are maybe just now making the transition. If you keep them in mind, and so that they can, sort of know where do we go next, because I think that might be a question that a lot of our attendees might have.
Sure, I'd be happy to. I think what you're hearing from both Tabitha and Angie is this integration across fundraising is more than just about channels and more than just about campaigns. They talked about experiences and events and departmentally, and there's some real challenges in doing all this, and it does sound intimidating. What I'd like to do is just spend a couple of minutes talking about how how could you actually go about this in a realistic way? And most importantly, how do you make it sustainable? What we've seen working with hundreds of different nonprofits is things look good for a campaign or two or an effort or two, and all of a sudden they fall flat or go away or stop being productive, and that's because they really haven't built the sustainability. So I'm going to spend a couple of minutes just talking about what's it look like to do it right and how can you get started no matter what size organization you are. Those organizations that do it well follow a similar process, and they may not realize it, but from the outside we can see it. And it sort of is summarized in this slide you're seeing now. It starts with Tabitha talked about who are our donors, who are our constituents. But it all starts with what we know about them. What information do we have that can drive some relevant communication and integrated experience with them that is based on what we know? Tends to be based on some data that you have, but regardless of what that is, whether it's written down or in a database or formative, the point is it sort of starts with that knowledge. The next step in the process, though, is you have to do something with it. You have to actually take that information and leverage it in what way, and they have to see something different from you, to see that Coma knows them better than they thought they did or that another organization understands them. How do we become more meaningful in our interaction with them? And that should drive some sense of feeling from the constituent. And I mention this step because many people don't realize it, but that's really what they're doing is they're sort of changing the attitude before they change the behavior. Is that if you treat someone differently, they're going to start to think about you differently and start to listen to you differently. And that ultimately gets you around the clock there to the last quadrant of what they will do as a result. That's when they're going to start to behave differently. Oftentimes, and many of you might put yourself in these shoes, you go from, well, we gather data, therefore we just expect that they're going to give us more money or more time or more advocacy, when in reality we haven't taken the step of treating them differentially, interacting with them based on the knowledge that we have, and really trying to make them feel different before we actually expect them to act differently. And that's one of the best practices we've seen is everyone that we've worked with that does this well has followed some element of this process. They may use different words and may have different ways they express it, but it's this discipline around doing it that is critical in terms of being able to make this sustainable. And so what are the key elements of doing that? We believe there are sort of five pillars or five foundations of being able to make that process work. And these are the same pillars whether you're a two-person organization or a 20,000-person organization. And you heard Tabitha talk about them in different words. Angie mentioned sort of the elements of some of these. And they are as follows. And I'm going to give you some questions that you can begin to ask your organization that will be effective. Organization culture is about your readiness, your leadership support. We've already had a question I've seen about the board support. It's all about what's the mindset we have around adopting integration best practices, around making this an organizational competency, not just a fundraising competency or a competency for a certain department. Operations and process, how systemic are we about how we do things? How documented are we? How much do we write them down? Do we follow them? And are we rigorous about our discipline in doing the things we need to do? The third pillar is around data. What data do we have? How do we use it? How do we manage it? How do we leverage it? A lot of what Tabitha and Angie talked about was just around about just that, not just the capturing the data, but actually doing something with it. Angie mentioned there's a technology aspect. There absolutely is a technology aspect. It is not the most important, but it is a key enabler. The infrastructure you need to enable integration is critical. And finally, this last piece of sort of engagement, how do we take the culture, the process, the data, and the technology to create engagement mechanisms that are relevant, that are personal, that really reflect who we are as an organization and what we want from the constituent. And that's sort of the holy grail and what we're looking for in terms of the foundation. So the next, really quickly, just for time's sake, the next five slides give you some very practical questions you should ask your organization to say, are we ready? So from a cultural perspective, you know, how well do we adopt change and how well do we adapt to change? What do we think about relationship management integration? Are we consistent about what we call constituents? Part of the lack of integration is someone says, well, that's a volunteer, that's not a donor. Well, how do we define constituents is so critical. Are we holding people accountable for what we say that they're going to do, both internally and externally? How well do we work cross-functionally? These are really critical elements to making integration work across channels and across the entire organization. It's tough stuff to do, though, I'll tell you, but it can start in a small organization. It's actually much easier in a small organization. It's much harder in a Komen because of the size and the affiliate network to do this well, and yet people like that have mastered it. From the process side, you know, how process-driven are we as an organization? Do we have the protocols and procedures in place? Do we reward compliance? Do we, when we say we're going to do this and capture data and put it in the system and leverage it, do this and that, do we recognize when people do it? And unfortunately, do we recognize when people don't? What hinders our ability to adopt relationship management the way it needs to be done? How do we embrace new processes? We work with lots of organizations that admit that they just don't thank donors very well, but they can't figure out a way to fix that. That's sort of a fundamental thing of constituent management, is going to be able to thank them. So little things like that are critical elements. The data pillar tends to be the one that people understand the best and understand the most. What data do we have? What role does it play in our decision-making? How do we use it? The great broken promise in marketing in general these days has been asking for data and not using it, is saying, well, if you give us more data, we'll give you a more relevant experience, and they give you more data, and you just send them more stuff. It's not relevant to them, and there's case study after case study and example after example of that that is doing harm to all marketers, not just nonprofit but for-profit, because we haven't kept our promise of leveraging the data the way that we said we would. Data cleansing and data quality of priority, all these things help build this sustainable integrated focus. Technology-wise, you know, everyone has a system. A lot of them are sitting in note cards or Excel spreadsheets, and you know what? If that works for your organization and you're small, that might be great. As you grow up as an organization, it tends to be more sophisticated and more automated. But how are the systems integrated? How are we sharing data? Do we know when a volunteer volunteers and a donor donates, and can we combine those two in a way that shows that this person has an overall enterprise relationship with us? How forward-thinking are we around a CRM system going forward, around digital media, around all the things that need to happen to really be integrated in our efforts? And then lastly, around engagement. As I said, this is sort of, as we look at best practices, the engagement element, the engagement pillar, tends to be the one that is the combination of doing the other four really well. If you have the right culture and the right process and the right data and the right technology, engagement, and in this case integrated fundraising, becomes a little bit easier to do. It allows you to be more personal, more relevant, more connected. Certainly allows you to leverage insights better, to tailor communications. It's not just about saying, dear Craig, as opposed to dear donor, but making the content relevant to me and my areas of passion and interest. Segmentation, all the things that Angie and Tabitha have talked about are built in and fundamental into this. So thought starter questions are simply to begin to assess your organizations. If we really want to be a good integrated fundraiser and nonprofit, are we doing the things in these five areas that will begin to drive success and, most importantly, sustainability?
Tabitha? I think maybe we'll come back to you. Why don't you tell us, since you're in the trenches at Komen doing all of this integration, why don't you tell us what you think ultimately this is going to mean for an organization that does it properly?
Well, you know, what Angie and Greg both touched on is exactly where we're headed. I mean, I've been in the nonprofit sector since 2006. My background is from the for-profit sector. And I will say this, having moved over, something I say in my mind is, this isn't your grandmother or your mother's donor. These donors are more savvy now. Having had this type of experience in the for-profit world where they're marketed to, they know who they are, loyalty cards, they know what they do, they have an idea of who this consumer is, they're expecting the same type of experience on the nonprofit side. They're expecting us to know who they are. They're expecting us to anticipate what they're going to do. And I think when you think of that as a whole and take some of that mindset in, by still keeping your mission and what you're doing and everything, but it is marketing when you get right down to it. We are fundraising, but we are marketing. We are winning the hearts and souls of our donors in order to get them to stay with your organization while they still may give to other organizations. You want your organization to be the favorite organization that they choose to give to, and ultimately down the line end up leaving a planned giving gift and leaving you in the will. And, you know, that's where we're heading towards. So listening to Angie and Craig both speak, everything they're doing in here is where we're headed, and they talked about is where we're heading toward, to get that ultimate of engagement. We want to engage more thoroughly with our donors and constituents, whether they're on the advocacy side and raising their hand and influencing public policy, or they're doing a three-day walk, or they're, you know, supporting their local affiliate, or they're giving through the direct mail stream. Any which way they are touched by Komen and they're entrenched, not entrenched, but involved with Komen, that is what we want our donors to feel. We want them to feel that they are part of Komen. This is an organization that's working for them. And the way we get there is by integrated marketing.
Okay, Greg, we are going to turn over to you now, and can you just give us some thoughts on the numbers that are involved, you know, and what it is that nonprofits need to be looking at as they make this transition?
One of the things that has brought the integrated fundraising solutions to the surface is really the opportunities that it provides nonprofits, and so that it can maximize revenue potential from those constituents who are engaged in the organization, but also as a way of further cementing the relationship with these constituents. It's clear that within our organizations, within nonprofits, there's a lot of diversity in which people come to the organization. They can be a participant in an event. They can be a volunteer. They can be a benefactor, somebody who is actually receiving the benefit of what the purpose, mission of the organization is. And there are people who are simply contributors. And these people actually migrate themselves through a series of engagements over a period of time. There's also people who come to organizations that are based upon, you know, a lot of different diverse age. You know, you've got people as young as 18, as old as 80 and above. And I think it's key for organizations to understand as they look at the integration of its programs is how to make sure that they are being relevant to every universe, to every constituent, and that you not only know what it is they are engaging in, what their engagement level was at the first place, how they're migrating from one engagement to another, but it's also important to understand the preferences by which people prefer to be engaged within the organization. You know, with the advent of the new media, there is more opportunity to engage online. But there's still a lot of people who prefer to be engaged through a personal relationship, to be engaged through a direct response engagement. So we just have to make sure that we are reaching out to them in the way that they want to be engaged rather than the way that we think they want to be. But the more we are able to understand this universe, the more we're able to now shepherd them beyond that initial engagement into comprehensive, but a deeper relationship with our organizations. When you start to look at what this means to us, is that we all know that attracting new people to our organizations is becoming more difficult. In fact, it may want to be one of the greatest challenges nonprofits will continue to face is, you know, how do we acquire new people into our organizations? And I think that one thing that we're finding a lot of nonprofits that have now identified opportunities for special events that they have a way for that a large number of people are contacting them for any number of reasons, they're finding that these people actually are great resources, great sources of prospects for other parts of the organization's fundraising programs. You know, people who participate in a special event, for instance, may be a great prospect for a direct marketing or annual fundraising fundraising campaign. They, on the reverse side, a person who's engaged in a direct mail campaign have historically been kept within that single silo channel. But now we're finding that those people make not only great people to migrate into other areas of giving, but they are actually even better than those people who are brought in through the traditional channels. So organizations have to know that the people that are connected to their organizations, whether they give money or whether they don't give money, provide a great opportunity to expand the horizon of their other events. And in sense, you are, and in doing so, you're actually getting larger shares of those constituent dollars so that you continue to now develop stronger relationships and generate more income for your organization. As you can see on this next chart here, is that, you know, it is critical that we continue to stay relevant, as I said before, because as people migrate from one area of interest or one area of the organization into another, the relationship changes somewhat, and it is important that we understand that these are not siloed opportunities anymore. Historically, we have been in the place that we have. If they were involved in a community program, if they were a volunteer, if they were participating in a special event, if they were a transactional giver, meaning they gave to some annual campaign, these individuals were kept in very siloed programs. They were, you know, these are my people, these are my donors, and organizations were not equipped to know how to bring it all together so that this person is now being considered as an individual to the organization rather than a donor to a specific program. The more organizations are finding that they can integrate people, and the more people are participating in cross-channel programs, where now a community person is engaging as a volunteer, and that volunteer is also engaging in some special event, and that person also is now given a financial transaction. All of a sudden, you have now doubled the revenue potential for that person. But it really has to be an orchestrated organizational effort, because if it's still left in a siloed program level, you really are only as good as you can make that person give to your particular part of the organization. When we look at, so now let's put some dollars to this. Over a 3-year period, for example, you have people who give revenue to your initial fundraising program, whether it be a special event or whether it be a direct marketing campaign or whether it be a on memorial program or a number of others. Those people, they're a large percentage of those people will actually return to give to that program, that internal or that same program that they gave to up front. You know, special events it depends upon who you ask and what you look at, but you can see that people return back to a special event at a rate of 25%, some say upwards of 50%. It's going to depend upon the type of fundraising event it is and how connected to the person it is. 40% of the people who make an initial direct mail contribution to an organization, never make another contribution. So it really is important that we understand where the people are coming from. And also, traditionally, the only opportunities we had was that we could get them to give money back to that program. But now, organizations that have broken through and found ways to integrate their constituents are having much, much greater successes. If you take a look at an event acquired group, people who were acquired gave, in this instance here, gave $5 million to the event. this group of people returned to the event next year, and they gave in another $6 million. So, and then beyond that now is that this organization was able to now integrate them into, let's say, their direct marketing program, and they were able to get an additional $2.5 million from it. So over this period of time, they're now have taken that $5 million and transformed it into the, into $13.5 million at a, you know, at a minimum. The on the other side, on the direct marketing side, you know, this organization acquired $3 million from a brand new universe of prospects. These people gave $10 million over a three-year period, but more importantly, these guys gave $13 million incrementally to other programs of that organization that had they not been able to integrate that person through it, whether it be planned giving, whether it be special events or whatever, you know, they would have only achieved half of the opportunity that was available for that constituent. So it really does show you that there is tremendous value in integrating people beyond just their initial and their sort of traditionally siloed program in which they give money to. We look at it that it's also we have to understand that there's also a lot of diversity in the people who come to give to organizations, so therefore they have diverse actions in terms of how they continue to give. So not everybody presents the same opportunity as each other in terms of being integrated. You know, here's an example of a bike person. You know, the bike people, they gave a lot initially. They gave a lot back to the event, but when they crossed over into other areas of the organizations, it was very small. And organizations have to look at that and say, wow, you know, why did that happen? Well, that happened because the bike people were participating in a bike event. They were participating in an event. They were not connecting to the calls. On the other side, you have people who participate in walks, and walks were showing that there is a greater opportunity to integrate these guys into the organization, to the point now that even though the walk and had generated less money than that of the bike, when you integrate them across the organization, they provide even greater opportunities and actually long-term will even be better. The direct mail program, you can see tremendous opportunities across channel, and then you get into other events, you get into annual giving campaigns, and then the residential plan giving and so on. All of these provide a great opportunity for organizations to take people who come into the organization through these unique channels and really shepherd them into other areas. And then the last part of this, as I try to, you know, wrap this up now, is that, you know, so, you know, what are the top five reasons that you need to look at integrating your constituents? I mean, there's a lot of reasons. But number one is that retention to the organization is far greater than the retention back to a particular event. We want people to be retained to the organization, not just to the event. Now, if they just want to come back to the event, that's great. But let's try to get them engaged in so that they return back to our organization year over year. Event participants and donors return back to their event at a higher rate and at a higher dollar amount in that following year if they received direct marketing contacts between events. So this is an example of, you know, organizations say, hey, do not touch my special event people. Do not send direct marketing pieces to them. But in fact, is all the data suggests that it actually helps people return back to that special event. Upwards of a third of all planned gift revenue is coming from donors who originated from an organization's direct response programs. So very, very important, so that when organizations cut their direct response programs, for example, because of budgetary reasons, they have to understand that when they cut that, they're also cutting long-term planned giving dollars. The other thing is the return on investment is much greater for organizations that actively integrate constituents across fundraising activities, and the cost to acquire metrics become far more favorable across any fundraising activities when they are integrated, rather than just the traditional single event measurement that the industry traditionally does. So that is my section.
Okay, great. That was a lot of information to absorb. And I want to, I wish I could get to all of the questions, but I don't think we're going to have time to. But please, if you haven't submitted a question and you have a question, please feel free to do that now, and we'll try to get to as many as we can. All of this is, like I said, great information. Obviously, it's something that's very important, but it seems so big. And some of our attendees are wondering, what does this mean to me? I maybe work at a smaller organization, or I work at an organization where there's one or two people in the development department. Angie, what is your advice for someone who is trying to deal with multi-channel integration and they're, you know, doing everything, or they just have a very small team?
Yeah, you know, it's a really tough thing, and, you know, there's so many different aspects to it, and I'm going to try to be brief so that we can make sure we cover other questions. But, you know, the first thing is that, if there's an agency involved, then actually I would argue lean on your agency as much as possible to be that extension of your team. If there's not an agency involved, then, you know, it's just either a small shop or maybe even a small donor base, it doesn't mean that it's still not possible. I mean, I would almost say that, you know, in some cases the internal decision-making is greatly sped up if there are fewer people sitting around that table arguing about ownership and budgets and decision making, et cetera. So, you know, I would just say start wherever you can. You know, Craig, I don't know if you would want to weigh in here on this or not, but even if it's a small program, it's still, you know, all of those donors or all those constituents are extremely valuable. And if you have multiple avenues into the organization, it still is worth it taking the time to start somewhere and start to integrate those communication strategies.
Yeah, Angie, that's exactly what I would say. I think you're right. I think that smaller organization may be more intimidating, but it actually may be easier to do some of this on a smaller scale. Those of you who are a fundraising department of one, I would challenge you to begin to try to make your organization the entire fundraising department and not just one person. But I would say, Stu, just what Angie said, draw a picket fence around some subgroup of constituents that you want to integrate the efforts better towards and start with that. And for some, that might be your top 10 donors, might be your top 50, whatever the case might be. But that it's starting it and building the discipline to do it and doing it well and showing the results, that will suddenly get a lot more board attention, a lot more support from the rest of the organization if an integrated approach is taken to a smaller group that shows some change in behavior.
Before we go on, I do want to announce that we are going to forward all of the unanswered questions to our speakers, and we will get the answers. I'm thinking maybe we should run them in our e-newsletter, which is Today in Fundraising, which is our new daily e-newsletter. So we will get your questions answered, and you can find the information in upcoming issues of Today in Fundraising. So let me move on to another. I'm sorry, did I interrupt someone? Did someone else have something to add there? No? Okay. We have a question a little bit about how to get, and I know no matter what you're talking about with fundraising, this is a huge question. How do you get buy-in from your leadership in an organization to take the time and the money and the resources to start and integrate it, to start integrating these different channels?
Well, I would say what we've done at Komen, and this is was a graduated effort, is to start educating your CEO and CMO. I have monthly meetings with our CFO, and I take that time to show him metrics. It's nice that he's interested in it, but I take the time to show him metrics, where we're trending, what's going on, how we are comparing against other nonprofits, what our ROI is. When you can show those metrics to him, it makes it easier in the long term to really start getting the buy-in for where you want to go, because you have the numbers to back it up. You're showing what can happen, and as a CFO and the guy who holds the budget, they're the ones who like those numbers. My CMO, walking her through the marketing strategy. How are we going to integrate everybody? How is this going to work? Not only what's best for direct marketing, but what's best for the entire organization. As Angie alluded to earlier and Craig did, you cannot reside in a silo in this. So it's what's going to benefit the donors across the board. The more you can look at that and tell everybody and integrate and have everybody at the table that way, the easier it gets for buy-in. But it does start at that one-to-one individual level of having those meetings with them and walking them through it.
Yeah, Margaret, this is Angie. The only thing I would add to Tabitha's comment is that, first of all, the proof is in the pudding. So, you know, don't try to bite off the whole elephant here. I think part of it is actually saying, you know, let us try to do this with a small group of people. Go back to that segmentation. Let's pick a group of constituents that are really important to us as an organization, and let's try to figure out how hard is it for us to create an integrated marketing strategy around these people, get the appropriate departments together, et cetera. So if you can do a pilot around it, then often the numbers will show. The other thing I would say is that there's a lot of data out there, both from the commercial side and some on the nonprofit side, that basically says when the left hand doesn't know what the right hand's doing, and, you know, that can sometimes show up in the mailbox, in the email inbox, et cetera. When the left hand and the right hand of an organization look like they're not in sync, it gives a negative impression of the organization. So it's also a satisfaction issue. So I think there are a couple of ways, you know, it depends on what the trigger point is for your leadership, whether it's money, whether it's satisfaction, et cetera. But there's a lot of stuff out there that can support at least the launch of some kind of test within the organization to try to get underneath it.
Okay. Does anyone have any final thoughts as we are really running out of time? Nope. Okay. I just want to let everyone know that if you're interested in finding out the answers to the unanswered questions from today's webinar, if you go to www.fundraisingsuccessmag.com and look for the subscribe to today in fundraising URL, you can click on that and you can subscribe to our free e-newsletter, which will come out every day, and you'll find the answers to these questions. So it looks like we are really just about out of time. On behalf of Fundraising Success and Merkel, I want to thank you for attending today's webinar. Be sure to check out our webinar page to get information on all of our archived and upcoming webinars. Also, if you take just a minute to fill out the brief feedback survey that should be appearing on your screen, we would be very grateful. Your feedback will influence the webinars we bring to you in the future. Thanks again for attending. Thank you to all of our speakers, and I look forward to seeing you at our next webinar.